Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news, but mostly general tomfoolery. It is US week again, and it will be US week for the next 2 weeks. And I'm glad that I get the opportunity to say, May the 4th be with all of you, and also with you. Anyway, I had to get one Star Wars reference in there. I am, of course, Mr. Ben Williams, and joining me, as ever, Mr. Louis Satterley.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
Honestly, a bit under the weather this evening, so we're going to see. The show's going to be interesting this week. I'll give myself that much.
So this could be a... Okay, you know, I'm not even going to go down that road. Let's just say an interesting show.
Yes. How are you this week,
Mr. Shadley? I'm not bad. I'm not too bad at all. You did the shameless Star Wars plug there with the May the 4th be with you, and with you.
And also with you.
And with you.
And with you.
So,
all of the past jokes.
Yeah, just been messing around with a bit of Lego cars over here for the last couple of weeks. I got me 2 963s. I got the Koenigsegg, the Lotus Evija, I think is how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. And the new Ferrari one and a knockoff Porsche RSR.
How is it a knockoff Porsche RSR?
Because it is made by somebody not from Lego, but it is definitely a Porsche RSR.
Hmm. It's a custom kit then.
It's not really a custom kit. It's just somebody else who also, I guess, pays to use Lego's patent to build their own bricks and make their own product, etc. But of course, the official license isn't there, so they can't call it a Porsche RSR, but it's quite clearly a Porsche RSR.
Yes.
And so, after I got done building the 963, which actually I got two of them, I whipped out a little sticker labeler and put a 6 on one and a 7 on another, cut the book, went on to Lego Brickmaker, and ordered me pieces to make a third 963, but make it all yellow to where it is a JDC Miller one. So that'll take some time because some pieces they don't have into the pick a brick sort of collection thing. But yeah.
Since we're talking about the IMSA series, did you see the big announcement that came out? It would have been, I think it was after maybe Motorsports went out. Yesterday when you're listening to this live, today when we're recording.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Yesterday, today, tomorrow, all of it.
Time is a man-man concept.
What announcement was that you were referencing to?
LMP3 is officially leaving the WeatherTech series.
No, I didn't see that announcement. Yes. Where was that at?
Daily Sports Cars. Yeah, they've announced that it's just going to be in their own VP Racing Fuel series with the GT4s. I'm going to assume that the silence is Louis looking this up. Louis? I've seemed to have lost contact with my co-host.
There it is.
Okay.
I accidentally knocked the little button that mutes me. But anyway, just pulled it up on 365, and that is the very first thing that pops up, actually. So.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Well, I'm sure there's going to be some people rejoicing, but at the same time, I saw this coming.
Yeah. The writing was on the wall, and I think the only sadness that people are going to feel is that we'll have significantly fewer dentist jokes.
Well, I was along the line of being the few people that actually enjoyed the class being there. Me, myself. But
it is kind of an awkward class, just because of where it sits speed-wise.
Well, right between
to everything else around it.
Well, I mean, whenever we get the competent people who are driving those things out of the AMs, they're fully well able to stay ahead of the GT field. But at the same time, now you have the same thing with LMP2 cars, where if you had somebody who was not fully competent behind the wheel, they would hold up the GT car. So this really doesn't eliminate the so-called, put in air quotes, problem of the slower AM driver being out of the way, because now all the ones that are in LMP3, they're just going to move up to LMP2 now, which I see a huge influx of that coming. But
or they'll just go into the VB fuels.
Or they'll do that, yeah.
Or more GTD cars.
Or more GTD cars. Speaking of, did you see Andretti's announcement?
Yes, I did.
I love it how we're totally taking over a Midweek Motorsports job.
No, we're just doing what Matt and Stephen usually do. We talk about real racing for the first, like, 5 minutes of the show.
Oh, well, I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. I love it. Speaking of phone interruptions.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a phantom version of this recording where my phone interrupted me mid-introduction.
Yeah, that was three dumps ago.
Anyway, you'll also be happy to know, Mr. Satterley, that I am actually going to go to Williams Grove on Friday.
Yay!
So,
I
have my earring protection well in hand.
Bring yourself a pair of goggles that you can wear over your regular glasses, like a pair of safety goggles, just to keep the dust from getting up in your eyes.
I might not have those, but...
Well, you can do a quick run to Home Depot and get a pair for like 90
Yeah, like it's been bucks so it's been so wet here recently, though. I don't think I'll have that much of an issue.
That's not going to matter at all.
It's not going to matter at all? Okay, good to know.
Because the way they race on that, because they're going to put enough wet or water on the track to keep it tacky, and they're only going to water it once at the beginning of the night. So as the night goes on and it starts drying out, that's when the dust is going to start getting kicked up. And then you have to worry about the wind.
It also rains for 3 days straight here this
week. That's not going to matter on that racetrack.
Good to know. So, okay.
But the beginning of the night, if you got the wind in your face, you're going to get big old clumps of dirt in your face. And then if it dries out throughout the night, you're going to get just dirt dust in your face. So,
yeah. Speaking of dirt dust, kind of seamlessly transitioning us into the sim racing news part of tonight's program. But before I do that, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio using the hashtag SimcastRSL. Tell us what you're thinking about the show. And of course, myself, Lily, and all the other hosts here on the Simcast are members of the Midweek Motorsports Listeners Collective. So, iRacing has teased a new track.
Have they?
They have. Released literally the 1st of May is a video of a top-down of a Aston GT4 going through a corner at a track that has previously not been in the title. And which is very obviously, if you know your circuits, this is very obviously Willow Springs.
Okay.
What's it really interesting about this? Well, Willow Springs is not a well-loved American track, if that makes sense. At least from my perspective, it's most fun whenever you have classic cars on there, because the track becomes much more difficult to drive whenever you don't have a bunch of electronic aids, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But this track was also... And someone actually dug back through iRacing's archive to find this. This was something that was scanned in, like, 2011, 2012.
Okay.
Yes.
So that long before they finally got it to us.
Yes. There was, according to iRacing, whenever this was mentioned before, along with Zolder, Tsukuba, and Olin Park... Willow Springs was scanned, some production work done, but put on hold for now. And that was, you know, over a decade ago now.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah, they even, right before we started recording, they released another image of the track, and it's still very obvious Willow Springs.
Yeah.
and I will make sure I send this to you so you can see it.
Yeah. Well, I know you're rather excited about this because we were talking about this a couple days ago in the show chat. This is, for me, one of those places that it's kind of meh.
Yeah.
Which, like you said, it's not a well-loved track. And for me personally, it doesn't tick all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why, I mean, it's a very fast track. It's a very flowing track. And then you have, for some reason, two very tight corners. Actually, yeah. Three very tight corners, and then it's all back to high speed and flowing again. And I don't know. It just, for me, it doesn't create a lot of passing opportunity.
Yeah, no, there's not a lot of passing opportunities at this track. I can definitely agree with that statement.
Yeah, just simply because of the high speed nature of it.
Yeah. You've got some dive bomb capabilities going into turn one.
Some.
Yeah.
And you also have total hip check capabilities coming out of it.
Oh, yeah. You also have total hip check abilities coming through that tight chicane at the top of the track and the immediate left coming out of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's, well, it's spring, so there's so much runoff that it's you're going to be buried in the dirt before you hit.
I was
going to
say, you could be way out into the boonies on that one.
Yep. Yeah, so I like the track. I'm excited for it. But none of the cars that I would want to drive on it are on iRacing at this time. Like, for instance, if there's a day where it's like, okay, I want a sim race, but I don't know what I want to sim race, I'll pull that up and classic GT cars.
Mm.
So Shelby's, Corvettes, Porsche 914s, that kind of thing.
Heck yeah. The early days of IMSA.
The really early days.
So. Yeah. Like 914.6. That was the first first Porsche twin in not an IMSA race, but I think it was the first sports car race or first IMSA championship was won by Porsche. Yeah, Brumos. In that car.
It's always Brumos. So, no information about other information has been released at this time. It's still very obvious. Willow Springs, let us know, dear listener, what you think about Willow Springs being added to it. Many comments that I've been seeing have been, people will be really excited about it, and then after the first season that it's in, it won't be as popular.
Yeah, I was going to say, the first season, I think, is being a little bit generous to it, even.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
GR Cup would be good fun around this.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little bit, meh. GR Cup, MX-5s, any of the slow open-wheel cars, those could all be good fun around here. But anyway, moving on. So we've been talking about the Gran Turismo movie a couple different times on this program, and we now have a new trailer and release date.
Excellent!
Yes. Did you watch the trailer, Mr.
Shelby? I did.
What were your thoughts?
Well, I'm intrigued. I'll say. It looks, dare I say, it looks like a modern day version of Days of Thunder, only it's not NASCAR as the focal point. Just what I'm getting. Yeah. I said, I was just trying to think of another way to describe it and add on to it, but there's really not.
Yeah. Yeah, no. My immediate first thought was, while you can really tell what the difference a budget makes in a sim racing movie, an actual budget, when you've got Sony money, then you can produce something that looks pretty decent.
Yeah.
Except for that one flipping prototype, which looked kind of funky, but
it did, but at the same time, if you watch some other racing movie accidents, i.e. Driven, if you watch those, that looked a lot more realistic than those ever did. But yeah, it was definitely CGI for sure, and I think there was an aspect of that just took over and they obviously ran with it. So
yeah. It definitely also looks like a Nissan commercial, but it's Gran Turismo that you're going to have that.
Well, I was going to say it effectively is because it's following Jan Martinborough's foray through the Nissan Gran Turismo Academy. So
yeah,
naturally, Nissan's going to be everywhere.
Yeah. I kind of like that they did move it forward to... like you can see that he's playing GT7. Mm-hmm. He's obviously playing GT7. Man, GT Academy would have been on...
I think it was on 5.
5? I was going to say either 4 or 5. I don't remember at the moment.
I think it started on 5 and then carried over, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah. Definitely interesting concept. I mean, we've talked about things that we've heard about how, because it's a Hollywood movie, there will be a love story and all the general, like, things you have to do to get a movie made things, like including lines like, you expect, or something along the lines of, you expect me to get a bunch of racers to be fit into racing car drivers, which, you know, there are many people that has proved that it's completely possible.
Right.
But the same way, it still looks better than the last Sim Racing movie.
Oh, absolutely. No ifs, ands, or buts about that one. That's for sure.
Yeah. So the movie comes out on August 4th. Hold on. August. It just says August. So. Oh. Yep. We're only, 3 months away? More or less?
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah, I know. Time has been...
No, it's only 3 months away before we get to the hottest part of the year.
Yeah. Sorry for it, man.
Yeah, you better be sorry. I said what I said, man. You there?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, you got real quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah. Anyway, shall we move on?
We can move on. You okay?
All right. Do you want to start talking about F1 23?
I can. Let's get that pulled back over here. F1 23, new information about the game was released yesterday, aka today for us, yesterday for you guys currently listening. The cover athlete was revealed earlier this week. Sorry, I totally misread that. With Max Verstappen on the Champions Edition, which that created a really large debate on social media there with that, which I found kind of hilarious that everybody was just arguing about who's on a game cover. But on to the regular edition, you have Hamilton and Lando and Chuck.
Charles Leclerc.
Oh, Charles Leclerc. Okay. Chuck. I was like, who the heck do they call Chuck? On the regular edition. And it looks like really they literally used Photoshop for this one, which, I mean, they kind of do for all of them, doesn't it?
I mean,
in a sense, they do, in order to get everybody to lay over one another whenever they did the whole staggered thing for the longest time.
I mean, it just looks like they took 3 pictures of Hamilton, Leclerc, and Lando, and just blurred the background and said, here, there you go. There's your cover.
Ah. Gotcha.
At least in my opinion. There was already some stuff that we knew about the next F1 game going into it. First of all, we knew that Breaking Point was going to be back. Whether you're excited about that or not, it's up to you. I
missed out on last year's game mostly because this has been taken over by EA. What was the Breaking Point thing again?
The Breaking Point wasn't even in last year's game. Breaking Point was in F1 2021, back when it was still Codemasters and not EA.
Well, that must have been the first one I didn't get because I was in the process of doing every other year because they were no significant gain from year to year.
Oh, they still are, but that's... It's been well documented on this show that we feel like year releases are a dumb concept.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that was probably the year I didn't get, and then the following year that I was scheduled to get it, EA ended up stepping in, so it's like, well, that's the end of that fun.
Yep. Breaking Point was their story mode. Their highly dramatized drive to survive-esque story mode.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Many people liked it. I didn't find it particularly interesting. If I'm honest, I don't even really remember how it ended right at the moment. But they confirmed that Breaking Point would be back, or Breaking Point 2 is what they're calling it. Okay. They confirmed that would be back by doing a fake car launch for one of the characters' new racing team, Cornersport. Or is it Cornersport? Cornersport. Yeah.
Yeah, Cornersport.
Yeah. Which I don't want to give EA props, but that was kind of a cool idea to do it that way.
Yeah.
After F1 makes all these big deals about doing car launches for the real life championship, introducing a new team for Breaking Point 2. Kind of a cool idea that they did that, and
not too shabby.
Yeah, I'm not going to fault them for that. The other thing that we also knew about F1 23 going into yesterday/today was that we probably wouldn't have any F3, just based on the official art only having F1 and F2 logos.
Yeah, I don't understand why there's still no F3. I really don't, but...
Who's to say?
Because F2 has been in it for over half a decade now. I would say. So F3 has been...
F... Or 2021 did not have F2.
2021 didn't have F2.
Wait,
okay.
No. Did it? Wait. One of the games didn't have anything other than F1. It might have been last year's. They're all running together. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, well, see, that's the whole...
Wait, no, it had it.
Annual release thing.
Wait. Anyway, yeah, they're all running together. I do apologize for getting my information wrong, but I literally just do not remember right at this point. And I don't really care that much to look it up. Anyway, because it's all the same game. A couple other things that were confirmed during today's release and the information. We got more of a look at what Breaking Point 2 is going to be. There's going to be a female protagonist, which is something very new for F1. I'll let people derive from that what they want. They also confirmed what the Champions Edition will contain. 3-day early access, time limited Las Vegas content, as long as you pre-order before the end of this month.
Time limited Las Vegas content. That's hilarious.
Yes. A Max Verstappen race wear pack, Breaking Point 2 icons, Infinity items pack, dual entitlement, which is EA's slightly... how do I put this? It's their... If you buy the Champions Edition, you can have both the previous gen and the current gen console version of this game, even though every other developer lets you play their game on the previous gen and the current gen without paying for another game. EA doesn't do that.
Yeah, thanks, EA.
Yeah.
Thanks for proving why I don't buy your products.
4 new My Team icons, XP boost, F1 World Bumper Pack, which is also back. Yay. And 18,000 Pitcoin, which is not a cryptocurrency, it's the in-game currency, which you can buy with real-world money, because EA.
Yes, you can use current currency to use this currency, because the other currency isn't good enough, and we want more of that other currency that you can't use.
Yes. The game will be released June 16th for basically everything. Short of
Come on, week.
short of the Steam Deck and Nintendo. So if you want to play it on PC, Steam, Epic, or the EA stores, the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X/S, you can. The price for the standard game is $70.
70 now, huh? Wow.
Yeah, it's gone up to 70 now. And the Champions Edition will cost $20 beyond that.
See, now I expected that to cost $30, not 20.
Anyway. Don't give EA credit.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, we do know that it will be cross-platform, as F1 21 was, or 22, excuse me.
Man, I
keep doing
your
that.
Years are even running together, huh?
Yep. Yeah, we do know that cross-platform will still be a thing, and that we know that basically the full calendar will be included in the game, including...
including limited time Las Vegas content?
No. The entire 2023 calendar is included, I believe. Yes, that looks right. But we also get Paul Ricard, Sangpan, China, the China GP circuit, and Portimao.
Oh, nice. Portimao would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No other details on that one?
That's about it, really.
Shall we stay on the F1 subject? Wow, that totally drew a blank on that word.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is kind of a short story, but we do know that F1 Manager 23 is expected to be announced soon, if it has already been announced and I missed it, or if it gets announced between now and whenever this goes live.
Is this also developed by EA?
No, this is developed by a completely different company.
Okay, so that explains some of the content that's in it.
Yeah, Frontier Development.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, it's the name of the developer. We do know that we are now going to get F2 and F3 included in this in the manager title, because their logos do appear on the promotional image that Frontier put up earlier this week.
Which I find that kind of silly that a mobile game is able to get F3 and F2 in there, but the current console. There we go. I can't spit words out tonight. The current console game doesn't.
Well, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I know. It's just It just kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. So, be on the lookout for more F1 Manager 23 stuff. And now for something completely different. Yes. We already talked about Gran Turismo, so we might as well talk about the other big-time console racer and their main competitors, Forza Motorsport.
Cool.
It is cool, but I have some opinions about this.
Okay.
But we'll get into that. So, Forza Motorsport released a new video today, not showcasing any of their features, not showcasing when the game would be released or anything along those lines, but we do know that the next Forza Motorsport will include a system of blind driving assists. In the minute-long video, you get to hear from members of Xbox's compatibility team, as well as I'm blanking on this gentleman's name right now, Brandon Cole, who's an accessibility consultant that works for Forza Motorsport, is showing off how the next Forza Motorsport will have a system that, A, lets you be able to hear via what is basically echolocation, where you are on the track as compared to like where the track limits are. It can also tell you if you're coming up to a chicane. It's a series of, for lack of a better term, boops and bops that gives you auditory feedback about where you are on the track.
Okay. Which, again, I think is kind of a cool concept, especially for what they seem to be wanting to develop it for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Forza has always been about accessibility to the players. And this
I was going to say, this definitely hits a, I would say, very niche market with that in particular, with blind people.
Yeah, it's not even Forza's first time making advances in accessible features. They were, I don't remember if you remember, a couple, it had to have been 2 years ago, whenever Xbox released their accessibility controller. There was a lot in that Forza helped develop on those lines. Okay. I'm going to try to organize my thoughts here.
Okay.
Which is going to be difficult considering I'm not feeling my best. So, I'm going to approach this from two ways.
Okay.
There's going to be the part of me who works for a center for independent living here in the States, who has worked with people with disabilities before, and the part of me who runs a major Forza Community League who's waiting for a very long time, it feels like, for information about this title.
Okay.
I think it is so cool that Forza is taking these steps to allow anyone to play their game. Because I'm sure, I think this is, I don't remember whose organization this is tagging for, but it's when we all play, we all win, something along those lines. And that's very cool. I like that a lot. Trying to keep these parts of my brain separate. However, there is so much that the community doesn't know about this title that we would have liked to see more information about Forza Motorsport beyond just these driving assists.
Right.
Like, we don't have release date yet. We barely have a car list. This Ford Focus that was PTCC car, which was featured in this video, was one that was spotted in the background of one of the other other
videos that they've made. Yeah.
So we knew it was there. It just wasn't like officially in the foreground before. So, but there's so much information that we want to know about this game that we feel like we aren't hearing very much. And
you're not hearing much nor are you being told very much.
Yeah. And whenever there's a video like this, which is showing off information about the game, but not the information that we've repeatedly asked for, where we feel a bit excluded.
But there's,
which, you know,
no question that they're excluding stuff for a reason.
Yeah.
And this game's already well past due for when it should have come out.
It really is. And I get that people with disabilities felt excluded in gaming in the past, so I know I shouldn't complain that much, but still in the same way, we still want to know things.
Yeah. Fully agree on that one.
Okay. Yeah. That's about it that I had for this. Was there anything you wanted to add?
No, I mean, you've pretty much hit everything on the, or hit the nails on the head there. It's just, I'm right there with you with the frustration aspect of this, because they kind of backpedaled a little bit when a couple of weeks ago, whenever they announced that some cars that they've teased already are not going to be included on launch, and that they're going to release details on how you can acquire those cars later on.
That was a couple of months ago now.
Yeah, exactly. And they still haven't released any details about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts to raise the question if we're ever actually going to see it or not, sort of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to be a constant whole, we're doing this whenever it comes out, we're doing this. And then it's like, okay, well, when are you going to release it? And if you can't release it, but you keep adding stuff, it just becomes a pet project at that point, and you're just saying, oh, this is what we have capabilities of doing that you'll never get to experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's starting to feel to me.
Yeah. At least we got to see part of the UI in this video as well.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey.
Yeah. So,
are we off our soapboxes now?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay.
So,
let me go put
hopefully
this back.
We get some more information about Forza Motorsport in the coming months. Xbox's developer E3 thing, I don't remember what they're calling it, is coming up in June 11th, I want to say. So, we're about a month away.
Huh? Yeah,
we're more or less a month away from probably like the biggest pieces of information about the title. So,
well, took them long enough.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So we were actually getting some details about Ren Sports.
Yes,
further development. Obviously, Ren Sport has been very wrapped up in their ESL R1 esports league that we talked about on the show several times. But we're actually getting some more information about what we can expect to see more stuff from the game. It is a bit of a teaser saying that further details will be revealed soon. Apparently, there are more cars that are going to be added. Keeping with the GT3 theme, because that's what Ren Sport's going to be focusing around, you know, apart from the mission art, but you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Currently
in the game, all they have is the German manufacturers, isn't it? Or do they have?
It is just the Mercedes, the Mercedes, GT3 Evo 2, the BMW M4 GT3 and the newest, well, actually, no, sorry. The last version of the Porsche RS. Oh, wait, no, it's not the RS.
No, it's the current one. I'm looking at a picture of it. It's definitely the current one.
Is it the 992 or the 911?
It's the 992. It's got the swan neck over the front side of the wing instead of the back.
Okay, yeah, it is the 992.
Yeah.
I sit corrected.
Okay, so yeah, it is currently a German car. So I would say probably Lamborghini and Audi coming in.
Probably.
And most likely Ferrari.
Yeah, the developer was on a podcast recently and said that they're planning a keynote summit in June of this year to reveal more things that they're adding. Because remember, Ren Sport is big into having this system with modding where you basically get paid to mod in the game.
Right.
And add mod cars, things like that.
Which is another one of those really interesting concepts. Which I think will happen to work.
Yeah, they also said that they'll have 4 or 5 new cars to show off during this summit, and also new race tracks.
Oh. Well, terrific.
Mm-hmm. I believe that this is probably going to be another one of those similar to the summit that they held in last May last year,
mm-hmm.
where they brought all of those content creators and esports drivers together to talk about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or to play the,
it's hard to believe that game. Was May of last year.
Yeah, that was
May. And of we last just started year. May of this year.
Yep.
Time certainly flies.
Yes. So it would probably be another one of those. And considering how successful that was and kind of how groundbreaking that was, and
mm-hmm.
hopefully other developers have learned from that. Forza. Not that I'm...
Learn, but I don't think they'll do anything about it.
Yeah. They'll probably get a lot of information from that, because Rensport has been many things, but very open about what they're doing with the community, for the most part, is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I also believe I saw that the public beta has... there will be more information about the public beta in June as well, I believe. So, we'll see what we get along those lines. Given that the current R1 calendar ends on the first week, I think it's the first weekend. Yeah, the first weekend of June. We're probably 2 months away from warning information. Or just, a month. Yeah, I forgot what day it was for a second there. Yeah, so we're probably another month.
We're on Wednesday all day, bud.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, so definitely looking forward to more information on Rensport when it becomes available.
Hurry up already!
Yeah.
Goes all alongside with that one saying, all right, shut up and take my money!
Mm-hmm. Louie, do you want to talk about AMS2 for a little while?
AMS2, yes, we're going to get a Circuit de Barcelona Catalunya update, or actually, no, we're just going to get it, actually, set for Automobilista 2 with a May release. I believe this is going to be part of that DLC that comes along. Didn't get to read too much detail on this, but I do know that the pack will be coming out at an expected price of $6.99 or $7 as we round it up, $6 euro. It's also included for those with the 2020 and 22 season pass or premium track pack, so I don't think that comes at an additional cost for you out there. But yeah, this goes hand in hand with F1 Fanatics, and as of recently, Sports Car Fanatics as well, as it's really become a feature in the European Le Mans series as well. But Formula One definitely comes to mind with this, because for the longest time, this actually had credit for being the longest straightaway in all of F1. But obviously, that has obviously been passed by numerous tracks.
Aren't they? Sorry, it's just
go ahead. Note,
aren't they revamping the Catalunya layout for this coming season?
Yeah, so instead of having the chicane that they had there before, they're going to revert back to an old layout to where it is the very fast double right-hander
mm-hmm.
that leads onto the front straightaway. Yeah. So you're going to see a lot more faster speeds going down the front straightaway nowadays.
That's going to be odd to see.
Yeah, it's not going to be so much odd for me, because I think they never should have put that chicane in there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think it got installed in 2009?
To say, wasn't that chicane specifically installed for F1?
It was installed for car racing, actually, because I think it was the European Le Mans series that, or at the time it was the Le Mans Endurance series, was the first to use it, and then F1 used it later on.
Okay.
I know whenever that was put in, MotoGP didn't use it at all. In fact, I don't think they ever used it. And then I believe the hairpin that was down there that they installed for cars, I think that has actually 100% been taken out now. So they used the old loop again. So it's literally been reverted back to what it was 15 years ago. Which is a far better circuit than what they tried to make it into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that chicane is just kind of awkward.
Yeah, and so was that hairpin as well. It was way too tight for what it was.
Yeah.
And it didn't really create a passing opportunity like they thought it would.
It created a dive bomb opportunity.
yeah, created a dive bomb and take everybody out opportunity, right? So, but yeah. So that is coming, and also coming, which, hang on, I've got too many tabs open. I need to find it. There it is. Also coming is some cars. We have, this is part of the, wow, Living in the USA DLC. Wow, I was going to say, I just read it and then completely lost it. What was supposed to be the modern day IndyCar ended up being a modified version of the Formula USA 2023 car. It looks similar, but at the same time, it doesn't. And
it's one of those. This is clearly not an IndyCar. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, it's. But at the same time, I look at it and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that sort of thing.
I mean,
it has a square front windshield. It's weird.
A, that probably wouldn't, like, a windshield like that would require actual glass, probably not Lexan. Just because.
Yeah.
Unless you're.
Or aero screen, actually, I guess is the proper term for it, but it's a windshield.
Yeah. Because I don't think you can really get that shape apart from. I don't think Lexan would be able to, would be capable of holding that shape, let alone anything else. But
not unless you had it wrapped around something.
Yeah, we're in a virtual world, so no one cares.
Yeah, but still, I think that's what's throwing me off about it. It's just the... Yeah. Well, anyways. But also coming, we get a classic Formula Junior. That'll be free. So anybody who likes old classic Formula cars, that would be absolutely wonderful for you to drive. And I love the old Formula Junior machines as well. And also we have a prototype, the Sigma P1G5, which looks an awful lot like a Ligier JS P3, but not. And a really cool looking rear wing, I do have to say. So that looks like something that you take off of a hill climb car from Pikes Peak and slap it on the back of a prototype and be like, hey.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either. That's a gorgeous looking car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which actually, all those cars that come out from, or prototypes that are coming out from Brazil, they're all very gorgeous looking.
Going back to the former USA 2023 car, we do know that AMS2 had worked out a deal with IndyCar to get the official, like, official like, be officially recognized as having the car in their title. Then and the whole thing with IndyCar and their license thing kind of happened at the beginning of the year, and that left the AMS2 developers whose name, Riza, thank you.
Yeah, Riza, or Riza, yeah, Riza, whichever. Yeah.
What kind of left Riza scrambling to kind of like, well, we already promised this, and we're going to still develop, like, deliver on it some way. So I think this is probably the best of both worlds, where it's clearly IndyCar-esque, but it's not an IndyCar.
Right. Still looks weird to me.
Yep. And don't forget to mention that we are also getting the 1971 version of the Nürburgring.
Where is that mentioned in this release? I totally missed that then.
Yeah, it's in the route. It's towards the beginning of that article. But yeah, the 1971 edition of the Nürburgring will be added as part of, like, AMS2's collection of trying to have all of the old layouts of famous racetracks.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, the layout for the Nordschleife, anyway, hasn't changed. It's the Südschleife, or the Grand Prix circuit, that has changed between those two, if I'm not mistaken.
My Nürburgring history isn't that good.
Mine isn't either, but if I'm not mistaken, that's that is what the big difference is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. This version of the Norse Life is 160 turns, 14.189 miles in length. It's just a little bit longer than its current. The Schutzleife, probably the apprentice thing, incorrectly.
You're close enough.
Was eventually abandoned, but it was still used in 1971, which was a 4.8 mile course.
Okay.
Yeah. So not exactly the same as the current GP group, but
no, it's definitely not the same at all. Actually, if you watch any race on the current GP loop now, if you look in the background, you can actually still see remnants of the old Schutzleife. So,
cool. Yeah. So, yeah, if you are brave enough, be sure to check that out, too.
And please don't replicate a Niki Lauda.
Yeah, no. The Green Hell has its name for a reason.
I always love what Jackie Stewart said about that place. Anybody says they enjoy driving around the Green Hell, they simply are not driving around it fast enough.
Which reminds me, the iRacing N24 is coming up fairly soon as well. Yes.
Well, that'll be fun for you iRacers.
I don't think I'm doing it.
You're not going to do it this time? Why is that? Are you not a fan of the track?
I'm not as big as a fan of the track as Mr. Jordan Groves is. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I kind of fall along the same way. Yeah. Jordan
loves that place.
So the last big event I ever did around the Nürburgring, and this was long before you on Tora. Actually, I think it was on 4-4. It's where it was one of the main endurance runs that we did. This is before we figured out how to do the endurance races like we do now.
Mm-hmm.
But they called it the 24 run-in of the Nürburgring, so it was a solo event, and you did 24 laps around there.
So, roughly, depending on what car you're driving...
The highest classification of car we had, I think, was GT or GTE cars.
Mm-hmm.
So it took about 3.5 hours.
I was going to say 3.5 hours, something like that? 3.5 hours? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did it in a Ferrari 458.
Yeah. We've actually done two different Nürburgring 24s recently at Tora.
See, doing a full-fledged 24-hour, I don't think I would have minded, but that particular event, because it was such a long single-person event, and actually at the time it was our longest event for a single person to do, we didn't get a lot of entries on that, so once everybody got spread out, you're pretty much just hot lapping around the Nürburgring for 24 laps. Mm-hmm. And it just became very, when is it going to end sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no. The first thing we've been doing on Tora in the last couple of years has been the VLN style.
Oh, excellent.
So, We kind of combined most of VLN's classes down into two, because VLN has, what, 6-7 different classes?
I think it's more than that, even.
Probably. But what ours breaks down to is GT, which is mostly GT3 with a couple of GTEs and GT4s added in, because Forza doesn't understand that there's difference between those. And the second slower class is all road cars.
Okay.
Yeah. Which aren't that bad to drive around Nürburgring. However, when the Nürburgring gets dark at night, it gets dark.
Oh, yes.
Quite dark indeed. Yeah, no. I thought about doing the iRacing one coming up, but I decided against it because it's over Mother's Day weekend, so...
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Nah, that's not fair to Mom.
No. No, it is not.
No.
Yeah. But, anyway.
I'm excited for you on this weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, it should be a good time.
Have you ever been to a sprint car race?
I have not been to a sprint car race in person yet.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, you're going to be...
I have been to Mechanicsburg when the sprint car race is going on, so I've been able to hear it from 2 miles away.
Your sensors are going to be definitely overwhelmed, mm-hmm. I would say. Because it's definitely a 3D experience. Or a 4D experience, I should say.
Yeah.
Yep, you see it, you smell it, you hear it, and you taste it, and you feel it. So, but because you are such a big fan of high horsepower, big V8s, you're just going to be blown away. So, each one 900 horsepower.
Yeah.
In the main event, they start 25.
Yeah, that would be wild. I was debating whether or not I would take my full over-the-ear protection with me.
And in all honesty, you'd be fine with just regular earplugs if that's what you want to go with.
Yeah, I have regular earplugs too, so less things to carry.
And smaller and easier to compact. Another thing for you, if you're worried about clothes getting dirty, a poncho.
Mm.
Just an idea.
Okay. I will keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. But I think you're really going to enjoy it, actually. So, yeah. Fun fact that a lot of people don't know is that those actually, for any closed circuit racing type cars, that has a higher power to weight ratio than anything else in the world, even more so than F1.
Yeah, because these...
They're a little over 1,000 pounds with driver.
Yeah.
So 900 horsepower, 1,000 pounds, put two and two together.
Yeah. We've got... Yeah, this weekend's going to be... Hold on. It helps if I look at the right weekend. 410 sprints.
Yep. Should be the World of Outlaws, if I'm not mistaken, coming to you.
I don't think it's the World of
Outlaws. If not, it's the Pennsylvania Posse, which that's just all 410 stuff anyway, so...
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, 410... Oh, wait, no. 410 World of Outlaws...
There you go. So you get to see the biggest rivalry in all of motorsports too. The Outlaws versus the Posse, as they call it. So
yeah. Sponsored by Shiloh Paving and Excavating. Yeah. Should be a good time. So we've got about 5 minutes left in tonight's program.
Wow, we actually have oversubscription of time?
Yeah, for once.
We never have that.
I know. We were going to have an esports roundup of the week brought to you by the Gaming Athletes. Have Taylor talk about eNASCAR. But unfortunately, Taylor could not be with us this evening as he is heading for a trip this weekend. So he was otherwise engaged in packing.
Do we happen to know where he's going?
I don't remember at the moment.
But well, either way, we do wish him well on his travel adventures.
Yes. I think Matt is dog shopping again.
Is he dog shopping? I thought he was... Well, currently, I think he's out on his trip or what have you.
Yeah, I don't remember what he said he was going to this time. Terranife? I'm not sure. Forgive the American for mispronouncing things. Just trying to think, was there any other sim racing news that we haven't covered over the last couple weeks? I know, this is throwing radio.
This is absolutely stunning radio.
This is absolutely completely stunning radio.
I think we can plug whoever comes in after us, though.
Yep,
who comes on the air next week. Yeah, I know we'll be back next week, but for coming up right after us on this show, I believe, is Richard Crail and the Australian gang. Hang on a second.
On the grid?
On the grid, there we go. That's what it was.
Yep.
I had it pulled up ready to say it, and then apparently while I was closing out all my tabs, that was one of the ones that I closed out. So there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, be sure to check out all of the other various programs here on the Radio Show Limited network of shows, and You know what, Louie? We've been over an hour consistently over the last couple weeks. I think we can afford to bring it in a little short this time.
I think I agree with you there on that one.
Yeah, so.
So you're not feeling well either, so I think they'll probably give us a reprieve on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so we should be back again. Same bat time, same bat channel. And realize that probably only 5 of you get that reference. Team US will be back next week for more sim racing news. Not about does it for this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Sorry for a bit of a lighter show, but I'm sure you all understand. Everyone have a good week out there. Louie, final thoughts?
Jordan has to hear this 2 weeks in a row now. Hashtag eat more tacos.
You heard the man. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.